listening to WCNO Palm City.
May God bless you richly in the name of Jesus Christ. This is Reverend Dave Boston, and I welcome you to our presentation of Follow His Sandals. As this is a Christian radio station, perhaps it goes without saying whose sandals we are endeavoring to follow more closely, but that would be those of our loving Lord Jesus Christ. As I have often said, the last perfect guy blew out of here almost 2,000 years ago. This show is about our working together in the Bible to help each of us more closely follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get started. Well, God bless you all in the name of Jesus Christ. It's Reverend Dave Boston broadcasting live from Palm City, Florida. And very excited about today. We want to do a topic today that might take a couple of different radio segments to do, but it's going to be on prayer. And what I want to share as we follow Jesus more closely, we want to find out what he did, what pleased him, and then we want to do that. That's how we follow his sandals. So I want to start in John chapter 8, and I've shared this verse before, but I think it's always good to hear it again. It kind of talks about the priority of what Jesus thought. In John chapter 8, Jesus is being confronted by the religious leaders that are busting his chops a little bit. But he gets down to verse 28. It says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things.'" Now look at verse 29. "And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone." How come? Next phrase, "For I always do those things that please him." Jesus Christ always did those things that please him. And so often you'll see it a few times in the Gospels where, you know, God by revelation will just say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Why? Because Jesus Christ worked to please God. Now, in light of that, we want to talk about prayer, okay? Because pleasing God requires prayer. God wants us to pray. The Lord Jesus Christ was a great example of this, and we're going to look at it. I want to look at it in four categories. Category one is what Jesus did himself. What did Jesus actually do when he was on the planet here? The second thing, won't be as long, but the same kind of thing, is what Jesus taught about prayer, because he taught his disciples about prayer as well. Then third, guidance from God in the church epistles, particularly starting in the book of Acts. What did the first century church do in the book of Acts? You know, how did they live their lives? And we'll get to that as well. And then finally, there are epistles in the Bible written to Christians, to the Christian churches, and also to individuals. And it's very significant information there about prayer. What we can deduce pretty clearly is that God Almighty wants us to pray. He wants us to pray, pray, pray. And the Lord Jesus Christ was the ultimate example of that. We're going to start with that with Mark chapter 1, Gospel of Mark. It's in chapter 1. Where are we going here? Mark chapter 1. This is a little. I love this record. It's a great record of Jesus Christ, but it shows his priority here. This is Jesus Christ's priority. Mark chapter 1, we're going to pick it up in verse 32. It says, "At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door." That's quite a crowd, right? Verse 34, "Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning," that's the next day, right? "Now in the morning," and look at this, "having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." See, Jesus Christ started his morning away from humans, away from people, just want to go pray, get his day settled, get his day started. And that's a great piece of advice I would offer to anyone who wants to really walk more closely with Jesus. The morning is a great time to start your day with him, just starting day in prayer and praise. You know, and remember the things of God that are so important. It helps put the rest of the day in perspective in terms of what you're going to do, what you need to do. And that's exactly where you want to live. You want to live with that in the center of God's will for your life. And a great key to that is prayer. We're going to look at some examples of that later on here too. But Jesus Christ, a great while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Now, what's great about this record here, that sometimes, and this is very important, so often when you read the scriptures, you want to read the context. What's happening in this sin? Not just a verse on its own. But remember in verse 32, right? They brought him all the people who were sick, right? Verse 34, he healed them all, right? And then now in morning, here it is in verse 35. In the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Now look at verse 36. I always find this interesting. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." Look at Jesus' response. He doesn't say, okay. Look what his response is. Verse 38. But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." Now, that's interesting because I could imagine Peter, right? Wait a minute, Jesus, I just told you. Everyone's looking for you, Jesus. Right. But Jesus had just spent the time in prayer. So what was God's will for him? Time to move on, right? And he did. He said, "That's great. I'm glad they want to hear me, but my job is to go to the other towns." His priority was to go to the other towns. That's where he went because that's what God wanted him to do. See? Now, look at Matthew, please, chapter 14. Matthew 14 is another great record. And what I love about Matthew 14 is there's lots of great heart of love in it with Jesus. But also, in addition to his heart of love, you see his commitment to prayer, too. Jesus needed to be where he needed to be. And he always put people first and God first and people first. It's what he did. Look at Matthew 14. Now, Matthew 14, I think we've shared this before, but Matthew 14 starts out with John the Baptist getting beheaded cruelly. He's basically martyred, and for a ridiculous reason. You can read the first 11 verses, and it will tell you about it. But you get to verse 12. It says, "Then his disciples," John's disciples, "came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus." Now, what do you suppose Jesus' reaction was? Oh, cool, John's dead. No. Jesus Christ loved John the Baptist, and you can see that with when he references it other places in the scriptures. Jesus Christ loved John, and what it says in verse 13 kind of gives you a hint. They came and told Jesus, verse 13, "When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself." Why? Why would Jesus want to be by himself after he just heard this tragic news? Well, obviously, he probably wants to grieve, maybe cry, right? This is a very emotional time for him, and Jesus wanted to be alone, which is a perfect idea. He wanted to go pray, just put his head with it and everything. But look what happens. Verse 13 again. "When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But, but when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities." Look at verse 14. "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was," what? "Moved with compassion." You know what he doesn't say? Doesn't say Jesus saw the great multitude and said, "Hey guys, I just had some bad news. I need a couple of days to find myself. I got to get myself together here. I'm taking some PTO, a couple of bereavement days, and I'll catch back with you on Thursday." No, not Jesus. Jesus saw the need. What did he do? He jumped in. Now, he wanted to be alone, probably to pray, right? Never didn't grieve. But verse 14 again says, "When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities." Verse 14, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick." Now let's keep reading. "When it was evening," the whole day he's been doing this whole thing, right? "When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, 'This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food.' But Jesus said to them, 'They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish, and we don't have Uber Eats yet. So what are we going to do here?" You know, Publix isn't open here in Jerusalem. Oh, well, right? Verse 18, he said, "Bring them here to me." Remember the five loaves and the 2 fish. Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." Verse 19, "Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained." 12 baskets full of fragments, which is very interesting. Baskets, they only had 5 loaves to begin with. Now they have more baskets of fragments than they even had to begin with, right? So, again, God doing miraculous things here, right? Now, verse 21. "Those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." This is quite a feast, right? This is a serious buffet right here, right? Immediately, verse 22, "Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away." Now, verse 23, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there." Yeah, he finally gets to pray, doesn't he? He finally gets his chance to go pray. But interestingly, after a day like that, he healed all those people. He fed 5,000 plus the kids, the moms and the kids, right? He fed 5,000 plus people. In addition to that, he had healed everybody. And then he finally gets to be alone. What does he do? Take a nap? Nope. He goes right to prayer. Just had to go to the Father and go just pray at that point. And you see Jesus do that all the time. He was very much into his prayer life. Look at Mark chapter 9, please. Mark chapter 9. Right after Mark chapter 8, a few Bible scholars, in case you have trouble finding it. Mark chapter 9. Well, that joke is so old, older than I am, which is pretty old. Mark chapter 9. We're going to pick it up in verse 14. Jesus Christ, if you read the record before it, he was just on the mountaintop with a couple of boys, and the vision of Elijah and Moses happened. In verse 14, he's come down now, and he says, verse 14, and when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. Right? Verse 19. And he answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. He asked his father, verse 21, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. So it's a pretty traumatic situation for this dad, isn't it, right? I mean, his kid's got a demon, and his demon's trying to hurt him and everything. It's a very traumatic situation here. And then verse 22, the father's still talking here, and he says, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. Talk about a parent's heart tug right there. A demon trying to kill your kid. I mean, that's getting at the very root of your soul right there, right? He says, but he's been doing this since he was a kid. But he says, talking to Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and heal us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. You know, it's on the dad here. Verse 24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with the tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw it, the people came running together. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter into him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he, the boy, became as dead, so that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. Now, what I want you to see is these next couple of verses here. Verse 28, and when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Now, a lot of texts, the real good Greek texts from which the Bible is translated, do not have the and fasting part of it. It's just the prayer. You have nothing by prayer. And look at the focus Jesus Christ put on prayer in the terms of deliverance. Here's this little kid with a demon. What's the answer to cast him out? Prayer. If we want to get good at serving Jesus and serving God's people, it's just important that we get a super tight prayer life to the point we can bring those kind of miracles to pass if necessary. Now, please, let's look at Luke, please. Luke chapter 3. Again, talking about Jesus Christ here and how he lived. Luke chapter 3. And we're going to pick it up in verse 21. This is a familiar record, and it's in different Gospels, but I wanted to share the one here in Luke because of what it says. Luke 3:21, talking about John the Baptist, how he's baptizing people. Verse 21, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he, what? Prayed. The heaven was opened. See, Jesus says prayer was a lifestyle for this man. Prayer was his life. And we'll see it even more and more as it goes on. But Jesus Christ exemplified prayer. It's a big deal to God. And that's why, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ did it that way. Verse 22. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son. In you I am what? Well pleased. That kind of ties back, doesn't it, to John chapter 8. He always did the things that pleased God, right? He pleased the Father. Now, let's jump ahead now. We're going to go to chapter 5, please. Luke chapter 5. We're going to look at another record here, Luke chapter 5. And we'll pick it up in verse 12. And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Lord, if you're willing, Lord, I mean, I don't want to put any pressure on you here, Lord, but if you're willing, you can make me clean, right? And you got to love our Lord Jesus. He's so amazing here. Look at verse 13. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. Now, I know some Bible scholars will say that leprosy that's used in the Bible here, it may not be literal leprosy. It could be it's a serious skin disease, whatever it is. But the point is that two things here. Number one is the man said, if you're willing, Jesus, you can make me whole. And the other part of it is Jesus said, I am willing. Just in case there's ever a question about whether God wants you healed, you know, Jesus wanted this guy healed, didn't he? Right? And God wants us healed. Now, sometimes do we walk out on that? Do we get that kind of deliverance we need? Not always. But that doesn't mean God doesn't want it to happen. See, he wants it to happen. Here's a great example. I am willing. Immediately, the leprosy left him. Now, look at verse 14. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. Verse 15, however, I know what I told you, but they don't listen. However, verse 15, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Now, you'd think the next verse would say something like, so Jesus healed all the infirmities. But look what it says in verse 16. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. See, sometimes what he needed to do was pray. Yeah, there are people that have needs, and Jesus was as loving as anybody in meeting those needs. But there are times in life, and you'll see the same thing in your life as you stand for God, is that there's times you just need to go pray. You need to sit down and talk to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I need your help here. Please help me, right? You just need that, right? And Lord Jesus was no exception when he was on earth here, right? He just said, look, he's gonna go pray. He'll get to the people, and he will heal them. He'll do all that. But there was a time he needed to pray, so what did he do? He went and prayed. Look at chapter 6 in Luke. And, of course, we're in the four Gospels because, as I've shared before, the four Gospels talk about Jesus Christ when he was on the planet, when he's here on earth, all right? You see a lot of great things that he did and how he lived his life. And if we're going to follow his sandals, then guess what? We want to imitate what he did that was so successful. And, of course, that involved prayer. Look at Luke chapter 6 look down at verse 12, please. It says, now it came to pass in those days, he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. He continued all night in prayer to God. Think about that. All night. What do you talk about all night? Do you think he just said a bunch of the same prayer over and over again? Probably not. What he did was he talked to God, right? He prayed. He prayed and prayed. And that's what prayer is all about, too. You know, we want to get to the point where sometimes you just pour your heart out. And with that in mind, keep your finger here, and we're going to look at the book of Psalms real quick. Just a verse that I love in the book of Psalms. This one's free. It didn't cost you anything extra. Okay, I know it's not in the Gospels, but it's definitely good stuff. This is Psalm 62, and I love Psalm 62 for lots of reasons, but this verse is one of the main reasons. Pick up in verse 7. It says, in God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. And then verse 8, trust in him at all times, you people. Trust him at all times. Pour out your heart before him. Now, does God know your heart? Yep, he does, right? You read Psalm 139, it talks about that. But God knows already, but God still says, hey, pour your heart out to God. Pour your heart out. Sometimes you need to do that. Just need to have that time in prayer. God, I need help. I'm struggling here. I'm frustrated here. Please help me, Father. Help me. See, and that's what he wants from us. He wants us all to pray that way. He wants us all to have that relationship with him, which is so important, so valuable. All right, back in Luke again. Let's just read that verse 12 one more time. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Verse 13, and when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Now Jesus had a bunch of disciples, didn't he? He had a whole flock of disciples. He prays all night, and then the next day he makes the decision of who the 12 are going to be. Those 12, that decision is monumental to the history of the Christian church. Now, maybe people didn't know it at the time, but that was a very important decision that Jesus get the right 12 guys, right? He's very important. And I'm sure he wasn't being sexist here. I'm just that was the culture, okay? I'm sure there'd have been a couple, some girls in there, too, had it been a different culture. But he it's his guys. But I find it interesting that he prays all night in prayer, all night to God, and the next day he chooses. You can bet the Father had some input on who those 12 guys should be, right? I'm sure Jesus was asking, which 12? You know, who are they? Which are the right guys? Well, you want Peter, you want Andrew, you want James, you want John, right? And I'm sure the Father definitely helped him as Jesus prayed all night. But that's a great example of our Lord Jesus, too, how he did that. He just prayed because that's what he did. That's how he lived his life. Look, please, at one more in Luke here, chapter 9. Let's look at Luke 9. Again, there's a million verses in here about this, but we only have a little bit of time on the show. So let's look at Luke chapter 9. But I would exhort you, if you've been studying the Bible and you have a concordance, look up the word pray and notice how many times it shows up. It's all over the place. Luke chapter 9. And we're going to jump down to verse 28. Luke chapter 9, verse 28. Now, this is that same record that we read about before in Mark about the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember when they go up in the mountain? But here's the record on Luke 9, 28. Now, it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to do what? To pray, right? There he goes again. See, this is how Jesus lived, right? He went up to the mountain to pray. Verse 29. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those who were with him were heavily with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened, as they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved son, hear him. Yes, boss, right on that one, right? Here's my beloved son, hear him. When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone, but they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of these things they had seen, right? Now, if you continue reading here in Luke 9, it's that same record we saw before with the father who comes and says, hey, my boy is sick. You know, and Jesus says, hey, these things come out by prayer. You know, prayer is a big key in walking in deliverance ministry. A big, big key. And Jesus certainly exemplified that, didn't he? Look at chapter 10. Since we're right in the neighborhood here, this is free. This is an extra free one here. Luke chapter 10, please. In verse 1, it says, now watch this here. It says, after these things, verse 1, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, put some ads in the local paper, get out there and start sending emails to everybody. Is that what he says? No. What does Jesus tell them? What's the instruction here? The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You see, it's a big key prayer is a big part of outreach. You know, churches that want to grow with new people, prayer is the key to that. It's the key to starting that and making it happen. And as you see from the Lord Jesus, he lived that way. That's how he lived. He lived that way totally, right? And he taught a lot of that too. We'll talk more about that. If not today, it's one of these weeks. Now, look at John chapter 11, please. John 11 might be my favorite Jesus prayer verse in the whole Bible. All right? Just giving you a heads up right now in case anyone asks you on Jeopardy. John 11, we'll pick it up in verse 1, way back in verse 1, okay? It says, Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. When you read the Gospels, Mary and Martha show up a lot, and here's this friend. And now we have Lazarus as their brother, right? It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. In other words, help out here, Lord Jesus, please, all right? Now, in the interest of time, we're going to jump ahead a little bit. We're going to jump down to verse 19. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Lazarus ends up dying. Before Jesus gets there, Lazarus dies, right? And this is a guy who was a friend of Jesus. He was a very good guy. And, of course, he was very close to Mary and Martha, too. But now he didn't get there fast enough to heal him, right? So now he's dead, right? Now look what happens. Look at verse 20, please. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Not put any guilt on you here, Lord, but not for nothing. You were late. Had you been here on time, had you set your watch with the right time on your iPhone, right? He wouldn't have died." Little guilt trip there. I'm sure it wasn't intentional. Martha was a good woman, but still that had to hit Jesus' heart. Verse 22, "But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Now we're going to jump ahead again. Look down at verse 32. It says, "Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" Are we getting a theme here? I think we might be. "My brother, he wouldn't have been alive." "Therefore," verse 33, "when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And Jesus said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said to him, 'Lord, come and see.'" And then look at verse 35. Jesus wept. This is a big deal to the Lord Jesus, okay? Now, we're going to jump ahead a little bit. We're going to jump down to verse 41. And again, I would exhort you to read all of John 11. So the whole record is fabulous, how Jesus handles the situation, how his boys, and then how he handles Mary and Martha. It's a great record. I want to jump ahead here in the interest of time, but look down at verse 41. "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said," now he's going to pray here, watch this, "'Father, I thank you that you have heard me.'" And look at 42. "And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Look at Jesus' heart here. Isn't that magnificent? You know, he said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. I mean, I know you always hear me, of course, you know, but the people are here, so I had to say something for them, right?" But I love that. Look at that relationship Jesus had. He just talked to God about it, and that was cool, right? Talked to the Father, and, "Hey, I know you hear me always, but, hey, just so you know, I did for these people," right? Verse 43, "Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" Okay. "Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, 'Loose him and let him go.'" Now think about this. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. Now, you folks in the healthcare field, when a person's dead for 4 days, what happens to all their internal stuff, right? It decomposes, doesn't it? Yet when Jesus heals this man, right, he comes forth right away. That means every single cell in his body was rejuvenated, was healed. He could walk again. He wasn't paralyzed or anything. He walked right out of there, right? That's the power of God. That's how God and Jesus love our people, see? That's what God always wants to see happen. So Jesus says, "Loose him and let him go." Verse 45, "Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him." And that's great. That's what you want to have happen. See, to have these kind of miraculous things happen, it's really quite amazing. Now, the next record, we won't be able to finish it, but I want to just start. It's in John chapter 17. John 17 comes right before Jesus is going to be, you know, captured and crucified here. But John 17 is a prayer. And I would exhort you, if you have your Bible, to go to John 17. Read the whole chapter is a prayer, basically. And verse 1 says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you." And he's going to go on. He's going to pray all the way through this. He's going to pray. And one of the great things about it is he prays for us in here. I'll let you read that yourself. But see, Jesus Christ, it's almost over here. He's going to die soon, and he knows it. He knows he's going to be tortured and die. But what does he do? What's the last thing he does? He prays. And you see this also in the other Gospels too, right? When Jesus said, "Not my will, but yours be done." So let's pray like our Lord Jesus and follow his sandals. God bless you all.
This is Reverend Dave Boston. Thanks for joining us today. Tune in next Friday at 4 p.m. as we continue to follow the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me at homebible220@yahoo.com. Have a blessed week.